So, Pasuk beginning of Kiltum and Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Yar Yaakov ki Yashever Mitzrayim, Vayimer Yaakov Levonov, Lama Tisra'u. Why are you Tisra'u? Why are you making yourself visible? Shilp Pshat, the word Ru'u is Lashon, the language of being seen. Ri'iya. And Tisra'u is reflexive. It means you're making yourself be seen. That would be the translation of the word. And the Targum translates Tischazun, you make yourself visible. So the question, what was his argument? So let's look at Rashi first. Rashi's on the second page. Lama Tisra'u. Ataru atzvachem v'chnei b'nei Yishmol b'nei Esav kilo atem sveim. Do not present yourself, make yourself to be seen. In front of the Bnei Yishmol, Bnei Esav, as if you are full. So Rashi adds, they still have, at that point in time, even though most people did not have any grain anymore, Bnei Yaakov had grain. So people are going to notice that you have when other people don't have. Don't do that. Rashi adds, in the bracket, just a little more. Blinira. Pshutai, Lama Tisra'u, Lama Yiu HaKol Mistaklim B'chem, again, the word Tisra'u means make yourself seen, make yourself noticed. Why do you want people to stare at you? U'matimim B'chem, which they're wondering, Shinatem Mevakshim Lecha, Lochem Oichol, B'terem Sheikla Mashabiyatchem. Why don't you address your needs before you run out? So people are going to find what you're doing strange. They're going to notice that. Okay? So you look at the Radak. He seems to follow that pshat. Lomat Yisrael, lomatem marim atzuchem sheishlechem tuva. Why are you presenting yourself that you have grain? Shashar ben elam hol kalmitus tuva vatem yoshim. Everybody else is going, you're not going. So that means you're publicizing that you have grain. Ibn Ezra, lomat Yisrael, al Yisrael sheishlechem hom. Do not publicize that you have wealth. Okay? The Ramban asks a question on Rashi. First, he quotes the Rashi. So the Ramban back on the first page. Lomay Tisro. Ataratzuchem sveim b'fnei b'nei Yisav Yishmo. Do not present yourself that you are satiated, you're full in the eyes of the Yisav Yishmo. Shabbos Shoshua Dayanah Yisalem Tua, they still look great. The Rashi brings a second pshat, which we're going to skip, really, which the Ramban doesn't like. His second pshat. So Loshon Rashi. So the Ramban says, V'divrei Acher Meim Lehem Mamish. Okay, so the second part of the Rashi brings the Dibur Acher, the Ramban doesn't like it at all. B'masha Oimer Alti Taru Atzichem Sveim Lifnei B'nei Yishmol B'nei Esav Lo Avinos. I have difficulty understanding this statement of Rashi. Shem B'nei Yishmol B'nei Esav Atav Eretz Kanan. B'nei Esav B'nei Yishmol, they didn't have newspapers. They didn't have, you know, how B'nei Esav B'nei Yishmol can know what B'nei Yaakov were doing. They lived far away. Olam lo yarmer. What Rashi should have said is shelo yarat is atzum sveim b'fnei b'nei eretz Kanaan. Don't publicize your wealth, but in the eyes of the people who are in eretz Kanaan. Why are we talking about the b'nei Esav and Yishmol? Esav lives in the eretz Edom, which is he went away. And b'nei Yishmol were sent away also. V'ulai ha yu b'nei Yishmol b'nei Esav boyim mi eretz achuzosam el Yosef lishpor. Well, you boyim derech eretz Kanaan over malov, and they went down to Yosef to Bali, everybody else, because that's where there was grain. They went through Eretz Kanaan. V'yarmalem shelo yar atzvam sveim b'fneihem. So now that's the way that they will know about it. And you don't want them to think that you are don't need. Ki yashadu sheyesh Yaakov tavua v'voya alav lechol imo lechem abesa. So, hey, you know, I'm your brother, right? We're cousins. So that was it. That was a concern that maybe why we chose Bnei Esav and Yishmol specifically, because it's not a question of that they're going to be jealous, that they're actually trying to take advantage of the situation, whereas the Bnei Kanaan and would have no such habit. I mean, they would do such a thing. Okay, now the problem is that's an interesting point of the Rambam. The problem is Rashi is a Gemara. Page 3 is Rashi, it's really Gemara. And It sounds like not like what Rabban is understanding. So the more over here talking about the issues of Masechtas Tanit, it's the only situation where there's a famine. Look, we welcome Shemisan and welcome Shemisan. Okay. Person travels to a place where there's no tzora going on, and therefore they're not fasting, to a place where some type of a situation is going on and there, people are fasting over there. So he has to join them in Tainus. If he travels to a place where they're Misana, to a place which is they're not Misana, with intent to that you know, he's not transferring where he lives, but he's from the place where there's the Sora, he has a chiyuv to Misana with the people from that community. Shochav v'ochal v'shal. So he forgets. Going back on the case where he came from a place where they're not fasting, the place where they're fasting, and he really doesn't have to fast, but he's not in the honor of the tzibur where he is. He by mistake ate. Shal yisro b'fnei a tzibur. He cannot publicize that he's not joining them in the fast. So Yaakov said to his children, "Why are you making yourself noticed?" Do not publicize the fact that you're fine, you don't have any needs, you still have tavua in the eyes of Esav Yishmael, because they shouldn't be jealous. So it sounds like the issue is the jealousy, not like the Ramban says, afraid that they might come and partake. No more, just simply the jealousy. Rashi says, Al Yisro Bifneim. Shinir Kachosin Bein Avelim Vizkano Boy. Like everybody else seems to be, is in mourning, and you're very happy. It's like a chosim ben avelim, and they'll be jealous. Excuse me for saying a political joke, but we're talking about Jared Kushner moving here. So somebody talking to different Rav Shalom and said you can't go to Rav Shalom. He'll be like a chosim ben avelim.
Where?
Rav Shalom. It's all liberal Democrats. It's all in the Bayless. So how Jared Kushner got? He's like a chosim ben avelim. So it sounds like what we're saying over here is that the specific issue was just the kinnah, not because they're going to take advantage of it. Because you shouldn't look like you're happy while everybody else is sad. Okay, so there's a kliyoker which explains why Bnei Yisrael Bnei Yishmael along the lines of the kinnah element. So see what he says. This kliyoker actually is in Parshas Devarim. And the pshat in the pasuk he's saying is api derech drush. It's not api pshat, but the concept that he's saying is significant. Is significant. Okay. But you're not supposed to zoom nearly. So the pasuk says, "Rav lachem sefer harazel penu lachem sefarno." Go and north. So he's understanding that. So he brings the Rav Rabba. Maybe just look at the paragraph before it's bracketed off. When the time of Esav comes, you should hide yourself. The word safon, which means north, also means to hide. So that's the medrash. Zokt the kliyoker v'inyan hatzpana zu nirali. This idea of hiding, what does it mean? Shem yimsa ihu isha yisraeli begalus. If a Jew, while he's in the galus, this long galus, he finds some times where he's being successful, financially successful. Do not publicize it. Esav should not know about it. Esav is the biggest one who's the most jealous of Klal Yisrael. They feel they deserve everything. So all of the bracha which promised Yaakov not only blessing in the world to come, but even blessing in this world. So every time a Jew is successful, the Asinik says, "Wait a second, that was supposed to be my hatzlacha because I was supposed to get the bracha." V'chein Yaakov tzivu levonim lo mitisrau pirsh Rashi b'fnei b'nei Yishmael b'nei Esav kilatam sveim kishneim sarv sheitzol gozol hatzlachas Yishmael Yaakov calls himself Chozei Esav Yedei Shtadlus. So in the Quran's version, they say that what happened, the Jews came along and falsified the true text, and really it said Yishmael there. He was supposed to be the one who gets the whole thing, and we took out Yishmael. We stuck Yitzchak's name in instead. That's their version of understanding. You know, Yitzchak is stealing from Yishmael. Esav was the Bnei Esav were saying that Yaakov was stealing from Esav. And we did Ayinei Yishtalus by the Jewish Handelrai. We took it away from them. Okay, and Tzibah Davkal Esav Pnu Lachem Safana Shal Yiskana Bachem. Therefore, Esav specifically, and it would be Yishmael as well, right? But the Iker is man of the Golos, referred to as Golos Adam. Vis-a-vis these people, you should not be publicizing your success. We're living amongst the goyim, and we're doing mamash the opposite of what the Medrash is telling us to do. The person, just even if he has a little bit of financial success, he starts wearing nice clothing, fancy houses, as if he was very, very rich. They're that by doing so, they are exciting in a negative way, right? They're trying to excite the dog, right? You don't shepherd with the dog. You don't shepherd with the umma. This is a common problem. A lot of the problems which we have with the Umus Oilam is because we're making ourselves look too comfortable over here. People who understand will understand that this is a major piece of Musa that he wants to say over here. So he's answering the Rabban's kasha, why specifically Ibn Esav, Ibn Yishmael? But truly, it's the Gemara, and the Gemara says, whereas Rashi says the issue is the kinna, the Gemara says Ibn Esav, Ibn Yishmael. The Rabban asks why Ibn Esav, Ibn Yishmael. The Bnei Canaan should be jealous of them. So he suggests maybe because they might come and partake. He say, no, specifically Esav is the one who will look at Yaakov and say, it's my Yitzlocha that he took away. Yishmael says, it's my Yitzlocha that he took away. So that, what are you doing? Why are you gouging out their eyes that they should see you, see without Yitzlocha, and get upset at you? It's in the okay. So the next piece is the Yalkut. So it's interesting. The Alkut has two versions over here. Mirmi Yaakov Levadam Lomit Yisrael. Armalem Al Teitzu Biyetchem Prusa. Don't go outside holding a loaf of bread, a piece of bread. Matikotzu Kuchem and Pesach Echad. I have to picture all the people traveling to Mitzrayim. And no food. Right? So they're coming in to Mitzrayim with, you know, some vegetables, whatever. They have no grain. Whatever they have, right? Yaakov walk into Mitzrayim, you know, they pull out their sandwich. Right? So everybody's going to say, like, you know, whoa, 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 where did you get a sandwich from? You know, on the way home, I understand you have grain already. On the way there, where'd you get the sandwich from? About the consequence of Pesach, Rashi quotes, they do not all go through one Pesach because you're too noticeable and they're going to have an iron heart. People are going to be quetching about you, but that's not fair. Because there's iron hara. Okay, then he quotes the Gemara in Tainus, which specifically discusses Bnei Esav Bnei Yishmael. So the first version does not discuss specifically Bnei Esav Bnei Yishmael, just as people in general will find that not fair. The second version is the version that we have with the Gemara, which is specifically Bnei Esav Bnei Yishmael. The next one I want to go. The next paragraph I want to go back to, but I want to, before I want a piece of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So, Akama Tipshoy Hanach Yinshi, how foolish. What he was talking about before was, if you're a guest, and the Baal HaBayis shows off all of your his wonderful possessions that he has, he's discussing that the proper way to do it is, you know, you shouldn't be jealous. You should not praise it too much, because, you know, the stuff isn't really so important. On the other hand, you should respect the fact that to him it's important, that you should bless him, he should be zechut to have more, etc. He says that's on the guest's part. Now, on the Baal HaBayis' part, akavatim shoy hanachinshi. But how foolish are the Baal HaBayis? Hamasaprim, they're mentioning umisgadrim, and they're showing off bifnei arkim mikvoy roshem urev chelom isalolu. So why would they publicize to their guests all of their oishur and their chelom? Rev chelom isalolu. They're going to praise himself with all of their chayil, all of their possessions. You should do the opposite. Why do you want them to want to? Now they're going to see what it is, and they're going to want to steal it. Uh-huh. They're going to be jealous. They keep an eye on horror. Right? He showed them based on chayis, and then they came and took it. Right? They showed him he has so treasure houses, and they took it away. Why are you publicizing yourself? Why are you making visible that which you have? There's a Gemara, a few places in Shas, but the one that's coming to mind right now is the Gemara about Metzia, in the third parak. The Gemara says that the Rosh Hashanah only could put bracha on something which is not known exactly how much there is. So the Rosh Hashanah could give bracha, but not when it's obvious. So the best thing to do is keep it quiet. Number one. Number two, there's a Gemara Mavarcha Rebbe called Gadol. The Gemara says that a person gives a person a bracha. You were so nice to me. The Gemara says it. It's talking about a case of guests, and he goes and tells everybody, "He mamish, what? He went way out. He mamish was gevaldik. He made special meals for me. We had steak every single night." When you do that, it's not a chesed for the Baal HaBayis. It's everybody's going to want to come and take from the Baal HaBayis. Wow, I'm going to go and step him also. You know, so the Gemara says it's considered a klala. Furthermore, this is the Rashi in Chumash, which is it's a Chazal. Rashi quotes it that luchos rishonos were given in a tremendously public way, and there was elements of it wasn't but sneis, and that caused the etzahara to misgadar, etc. Next thing you know, the whole thing fell apart. Luchashnias were done in a very, very quiet way. Moshe went up on the har. There was no big announcements. Moshe goes to the har. He comes down. Right? That was Niskayim. So this is Mamash Chazal saying that the Siba for the loss of the Luchos Rishonos was the fact that it was done too publicly. And Snias is going to be is what's going to be successful. Snias is the proper way to go. Now, I do want to talk about the concept of tznius a little bit. We go a little bit further on. You know, I'll just tell you a fascinating thing. I'm always very frustrated because the people that come along and they, when they talk about tznius, they always picture women dressing properly. Like, that's the topic. That's like a horrible misunderstanding of what tznius is. Tznius is a whole approach to life where a person is not interested in publicizing what's going on in his. He has enough. He has a rich enough internal, inner being. He's not interested in publicizing what's going on in his life. Right. That's really what tznius is, and that's going to be the best way to go. So, you know, if the person blessed you with financial success, that's very nice. But why are you publicizing it? Like, what's the goal of publicizing it? You know, it's true in the world of Ruchnis as well. I think I mentioned to you this story that Yisrael Salanta's original plan was to be one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, to be hidden. His Yisrael Salanta's Rebbe was Rebbe Yisrael Salant, from Salant, and who was a Talmud of Chaim Lajner, and he turned to Talmud Chacham. But in the city where he lived, he was a shamash in the shul. Nobody knew that he was. They thought he was an amoritz. And his own, he used to be able to go learn. He used to go out, you know, when he would go out to the forest and nobody was around, and he would work on it. You know, he would have learn most of his bialis, and he would, you know, he would get dveikas and kodesh baruch, etc. Nobody knew who he was. Yisrael, the story goes, followed him one time into the forest because he's curious where he's going, what's he doing. He realized that this person is way beyond what he looks like. And connected to him, and he became his Rebbe. So he figured he wanted to do the same thing. He eventually changed his mind because he realized that what Claudius needed at that point in time was not that he should be out there visible, pushing the concept of Musar into Claudius. But before he got to that stage, so there's a sefer, I think it's called Yad Yecheskel, if I recall correctly, from Reb Chatzal Levenstein. So in the back of the sefer, he has stories that Reb Chatzal said over. You know, but he has on the parshias, and then in the back he has stories. So this is one of the stories he has in the back, that Yisrael undertook to do two things. He wanted to be not known as an amoritz. You know, he could be able to be over Kadosh Baruch Hu, totally only focused on Kadosh Baruch Hu, not being distracted by what people think about him, etc. So he did two things. First of all, he memorized all the shas. Gemara Rashi Tosfos verbatim. So he could always learn without being, he'd never be seen with a Gemara. Because he didn't need a Gemara. He memorized all the shas. Okay? That's number one. Number two, he learned to compress his tremendously devout tefillah, his Shemoneh Esrei, into a emotionless and motionless, quick Shemoneh Esrei. So he'd be seen like one of the guys that stands in the back, you know, 3 minutes done, he's got the whole, you know, Shemoneh Esrei's done. So he looked like in a real unlearned person. So I'm reading this story over there. I'm saying, you know, the second one, I don't know, you know, but the first one, if I knew all of Shas Baal Peh, right, verbatim, word for word, now I'm not a Baal guy, but to the point that I would tell you that, but I would make sure that you knew about it. you know, we're learning. Yeah. So come on, and see Daf and Beis and Aleph, like five lines from the top. You know, I drop hints here and there that you would realize, wow, this guy knows a lot of shas, right? You know, and still slotted one of the opposite because he realized that that's just going to. At the end of the day, it's a distraction. If your goal is being connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the more you think about what people are thinking about you, the less you think about what Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks about you. That's the antithesis of Sneas. Sneas is living in such an inner world, in such a rich inner world with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence, that, you know, what people think about you is like, it's not significant. It doesn't really play a role. Like, because in reality, Taka doesn't play a role. If the Kodesh Baruch Hu is happy with you, so people think good about you, who cares? If the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not happy with you, people think good about you, also doesn't, who cares? So like, what's the nafkamina? Yes, I have to be nice, I have to help people, I have to care about them, but that my focus should be on what the public acclaim is. It's just a distraction. So Kabbal Karma, Ben Menashe Kabbal Karma, with financial success, but the reality is it's not really significant. I should get covered because of that. People give me, you know, I should be noticed because of that. It doesn't make any sense. The one exception is L'chvad Hashem Yisborach. They would publicize the avoda. People should see the quote of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Fine, but otherwise not. It's interesting that he mentions that point that I mentioned with Rashi. So the Yalkut back on the page before. All you're accomplishing is an iron horror. Because they'll say, what's an iron horror? When somebody looks at you and is jealous and says, why him and not me? So Rashi says, no, it's Kurkasha, Taka, why him and not me? You know, and they look at you, they take out your file. They say, Taka doesn't deserve it. Right? End the conversation. So what are you here for? The Gemara says in Brachos that Rav once went to Beis HaKvaros and he was able to divine with his kurkas, like, why people died. He says, 99% of people died because of iron horror. 1% were natural deaths. That's the Gemara says in brachas. You know, so what do you deny in horror for? Like, you know, that it should cause a person's death. So there's nothing worse than nine horror. Luchas rishonim, ayeh shalit the bakarlos nishtabru. Avluchas achrenim shemra isha lo yaleimoch niskaimu. Vav Yerushalayim chorben bnei ha'ayin azoyis here shiomer l'kilus epi. The pasuk says that everybody was looking at Yerushalayim and saying, well, Yerushalayim is gorgeous, Yerushalayim is wonderful. Why can't we have Yerushalayim? Right? That was the problem.
Isn't there a cover of Shem, like the Beis
Hamikdash? I understand, but at the same time, you know, there's room for nine horror. So you have to be careful with that.
That's what it says in Echa?
The Klilus says, here it says, shiomer l'kilus yofi. Doesn't say more than the Echa, but this Medrash is understanding it to mean that's part of the Siba, that's a part of the reason for the Peronius was.
But look at David HaMelech, my failure.
It's beautiful, and we have a chiyuv to see the beauty of it. So yeah, listen, we always have a balance. So this is the meaning that he's talking about. So it's a fascinating thing. Now, I have to tell you, there's a fascinating small sefer, which is out of print, called Loma Tisra'u. That's the name of the Sefer. So what is the Sefer about? The Sefer was that this is a problem, which this problem is hundreds of years old. Well, Kliyakar was 100 years ago. But once upon a time in Europe, the Jews in the Polish-Lithuanian settlement were given a lot of autonomy, were self-government. As long as they would, you know, pay the taxes to the king, etc. So there was something called the Vat Arba Rotzes. There was four different sections between Great Lithuania and Poland. There's four different sections that the Jews divided themselves up amongst four sections. I think there was Litha was one of them, Volhynia was one of them. Then the Warsaw area was another one. There was another section over, I forget what it was called, and they had Rabbonim, and they had Parnasim, which was on the Tiber, when they would get together on a regular basis to discuss the issues and make the tikkunos, etc. So this Sefer gathered all the different tikkunos of the different kehilas about this issue of not making, publicizing your wealth. Simply, the most common place where it was a problem was the time of Simchas. So they have a list of the tikkunos, what you're allowed to have by chasnas, what you're allowed to have by. Right. So the Vat Arba Rotzes in the year Shin Sadi Gimel. Okay, so we're in Tuf Shin Ayin Zayin. This is almost 400 years ago. Right? This is 384 years ago. Right? Right? They have a list of the tikkunos, and they have what you're allowed to do for a erison, you know, when they make the what you're allowed to do for a bris milah, what you're allowed to do for a chasna, what the women are allowed to wear, jewelry that they can't wear, how many women are allowed to go to shul, opinion of ben, you know, every single one of them, they have the tikkunos, what you're allowed to do, that should limit, people should not be publicizing themselves. So this sefer gathered all of them together, all these different tikkunos, you know, the tikkunos of the city of Varsha from the 1886, and the tikkunos from, you know, from the city of Salts in Lithuania, and each one, they had the tikkunos they made to address this issue. People wanted to publicize themselves, and we're creating. Now, there's an internal problem as well also, forget about vis-a-vis the goyim, there's no problem that you're creating a burden on the next person also. Right, that was part of the problem as well.
But that's not Ayin Hara, though.
It's not Ayin Hara. That's a separate problem.
I thought the whole thing was because of Ayin Hara. Like, they have that now in Lakewood and in a lot of places.
They have
a chasna, and you have a certain.
They have the Kavach chasna, right?
It's not the Ayin Hara, though, right?
No, right. But over there, the problem was over the goyim were jealous.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have a Jew making a fancy wedding, and they have these impoverished goyim. Like, why do the Jews have a fancy wedding? Right. I mean, they're so rich. Right. It was a dangerous thing. So you have to keep that in mind. So I just want to talk about the element of tznius a little bit. It really, really deserves a lot more conversation, but at least touch on it a little bit. So
it could be this is very shocked to the Versailles Treaty in Germany, because the Germans were like impoverished after World War I, and there, I guess there were some rich Jews.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was always a problem. Yeah. You know, they. The challenge with which a Jew has to remember is that we're in Gaulis. And it's not our place. And in our place, and we're in Gaulis, so the guy comes along and says, "Why does he think he has a right to be so, you know, so comfortable here? It doesn't belong to the Jews; it belongs to us." And over behind him in the Moshe, for example, holds that, you know, a person should not walk on the street wearing a talus. Because the government said, "Why do you think you're so comfortable here? Well, you don't belong here. It's not your place."
Oh, really?
You know, you don't go and, you know, and walk down the street, you know, wearing your talus, you know.
But America's different, because there's not a place of one people. So,
yeah, to some extent, you know.
Yeah. When it comes to showing up for riches, maybe it's even worse.
But showing up, you know, the riches, you know, he said, even, you know, the Ruchnius elements, you know, the Goyim don't like the fact that the Jews think that they belong here. You're a guest. It may be nice to you, but you remember you're a guest. You start showing up that you think that, you know, this is your place. This is not our place, you know. There's no place which our place. Mashiach comes, we'll have a place, you know, but there's no place which we really, really. Eretz Israel, vis-a-vis the rest of the world, is the same problem. Esav says it belongs to us. Yishmael says it belongs to us. The Jews say it's ours, right? You know, it is ours, but it's not ours yet. You know, 100%. You know, they're gonna keep chattering. You want to argue that it's yours? You gotta be deserving that it's yours, and that's just, you know, not so posh.
They have to act like we're deserving. I mean, you have people in Israel who don't even want it. That's the problem.
It's also a problem. Yeah. Now, so I just want to talk about this nukud of tznius. You know, just. It's painful to think about the Dib Tznius being misunderstood, that it's just, I did a search now on the computer with the word Tznius, and all the, you know, like the highest response, you know, responses.
A woman wearing short sleeves.
It was about, it was all about women's clothing.
Right.
Like, you know, the ones with the highest number of responses were all about women's clothing. Like, that's not Tznius. I mean, it's Tznius, but that's a very small element of it. So here's the morale. I just want to see this piece of morale, and then we see a piece from Rav Volba. So the morale has it actually. The morale has a sefer called Nesivos Olam. Nesivos Olam is where he talks about different topics. It's a topical sefer as opposed to the other sefer, which are perushim on commentary on things. It's a topical sefer. It has about a total of, I don't know, 30-35 different topics. So one of the sections, each section is called a Nesiv. So Nesiv HaShtika. The topic is the idea of where Chazal spoke about Shtika, understanding what Chazal's message about Shtika is. So this is introduction. It's not from the morale. It's from the publisher of the Sefer. He put introduction over here. And basically, he's condensing the point of the morale. And then we'll see the actual language of the morale. The person who keeps quiet and doesn't talk shows he has that's sneeze. I don't talk so much, and that means he's an inner person. He's a person who has a rich inner world. That indicates that his neshama is a higher level neshama. Person talks too much, that's indication of the way the Umos Olam act, that what they have is they live a life which is very superficial and physical. So what is that's the introduction. Let's see the language of the morale itself. The Rambam says like this: the miyat hadvarim tala b'yichus. A person who keeps quiet is indicative of the fact that he comes from yichus, comes from a good stock. Kosha ma'inyan zel yichus. Where does being quiet indicate that he comes from good stock? V'avshur. So the midrash parak hadoros stam kusi mar b'dvarim. The Gemara says in Chulin, actually in Erevin, that a goy in general talks a lot. Chay parak zor l'chaim amru. The goy he's the opposite of that. The person who keeps quiet indicates the fact that he has the element of tznius. Shaul goes to Shmuel Navi. If you picture, picture this, you know, the Gadol HaDor, and I guess it's true to happen nowadays also, you know. People go to the Gadol HaDor for every, you know, every little thing, right? You know, like you would think, We were in Eretz Yisrael 3 years ago, three and a half years ago. My son wanted to go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I said, you know, Reb Betzin was really hesitant to go. You know, he wanted to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Fine, you know, I have nothing really have to discuss with him. Why am I bothering him? Like, you know, the poor man, leave him alone, you know. And 1989, I went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I spoke to him on learning. You know, I spent time with him. You know, it was a real conversation. But this, you know, you go in, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, they drive him crazy. Leave the man alone. But picture this. So Saul's father lost, lost their animals. So he tells Saul to go to Shmuel Navi to find out where the animals are. Because the Navi was a roi, he would tell you where the animals are. Right, you know. That's where he went to the Navi. Shmuel is equipped with the Moshe and Aaron, the Pasuk says. You know, what's he there for? To find out where the Chamorim are, you know, like, you know. Right? Okay, fine. Go to Shmuel Navi, and Shmuel Navi anoints him and makes him the king. Comes back home, so he says, know what happened? He says, you know, yeah, we told me where the Chamorim were. Didn't mention the fact he became Melech Yisrael. So you can imagine that sneeze. Right?
Yeah.
So Chazal said, that's that sneeze. That shows a tremendously the royalty of the person, that he doesn't have to publicize himself. Okay? Omer Megillah, Beskar Sneeze, Shoyi Beshol, Zoch V'yatzimeno Esther. What was Sneeze by Esther? Shemayin Esther Magadis. Esther also controlled herself. She didn't speak. Right? She was from royal stock. Achashverosh says to, really the only person from royal stock deserves to be the queen, but you know, I'll take you anyway. She could have said it from royal stock. No, she didn't say, because then she'd Megal where she was from. She didn't say. And the Chazal said, go back a step, and where did they get it from? They got it from Rachel Imenu, because they're from Rachel. And Rachel Imenu, she didn't tell Yaakov the story, what's happening. Leah's, you know, she gave it over, it's a right to its knees. If you don't talk, it's indicative of the fact that you have tznius. Commercial loss and tznua. That the word, the count of tznua is being quiet. Tabriano, we've been seeing what tznius, ki hugarim laharlet bonim kadoshim. Tznius allows you, as it were, the process, Revolver can talk about the process of bringing a neshama down to this world. Is you're reaching into the highest reaches of heaven and bringing a neshama down into this world. So the process of giving of a child, that the child should come from the higher realms, is an act of tznius batzim. The more tznua the woman is, that's why women have a special mitzvah of tznius, because since they're the ones who are going to play the major role in the process of bringing a child to the world, they need to be tznua to allow that the neshama they're bringing should be from the highest reaches of heaven. That's why there's a special mila to tznius by a woman. That's what the morale says. It's not that women, tznius belongs to women more than men. Men also need tznius. Have to be tznua, but that concept of tznius allows for one kedushin. So Shaul, the tznius, you can imagine what type of children he was able to give forth. The kedusha of his children. She was tznua. She had children with Kanam Gedarlim. Okay, Ayn Shom Matim Samavur. Lefikach Mira Di Rishut Tznius Marla Yichus. Kizal Inyan Yichus Shanel Min Tznua. Kachu Tznua Gama Came Di Rishaloi Ven Motzi Dvar Me'ala Gilui Zal Yitzim Min Tznius. Okay, so that's what the Mora says. That the Rambam says that a person who's a Tznua in his Dibur, he's a Shoisek. That's indicative of the fact that he has Yichus. So the Mora says in Kedushin that it took people fighting and one person keeps his mouth shut. And he's quiet. That indicates that he's the one who has the valid yichus. So the sneeze is way beyond women's clothing. This is a whole different thought process. Now the last piece, I grapple very much with what to do with this. So this is from Ali Shur. This is down to the whole sefer. This is the last section of the whole sefer. 4 pages long. It's the last section of the whole sefer. The sefer is written, I mentioned to you, it's written really as a ladder of growth. Right? He starts off with the basic concept that Yeshiva Rechu comes in, he needs to know, moves into the deeper understanding, then he moves to like a more very broad understanding of concepts, which a person, you know, as you become more mature, etc. Then he starts talking about life. He talks about, you know, the person moves into marriage and having a family and become part of the community, etc. We saw the piece about Mavis. This is after that. He says, the Maimar HaLishma V'hin Ilos HaShorim, the closing of everything. This is the final thought. And the concept, the whole paragraph is about Tznius. Tznius is the final goal of all of our avodah. So it deserves really to really do this piece, you know, very, very slowly, step by step, because, you know, the... So what's interesting is the word Tznius comes up twice in Tanakh. Only comes twice in all of Tanakh. Comes up one, the Pasuk, it says that the Rosh Hashanah says, that's one place. That, yeah, I can boil down the whole Torah to three elements. Number one, do the proper things, which means keep all the mitzvahs. Avas chesed, number two, the care for other human beings. And number three, that's it. That's the whole Torah. We put down into three elements.
What was number three?
Vatznei alechas, go in the way of tznius. There's a medrash. The medrash says vatznei alechas im alekecha. Vatznei alechas. The medrash says imcha alekecha. When you go vatznei alechas, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you. You want to bring Kadosh Baruch Hu into your life, you need tznius. The other pasuk where it says the word tznius is a pasuk es tznuim chokhma. With tznuim, there's wisdom. So the Vilna Gaon says in that piece, he says, called the word of Shal Adam Loy Loy. Whenever you're speaking, you're not speaking for yourself. Because whenever you're talking, you're not absorbing information, you're losing it, you're giving out information. When you're listening, you're getting information. So a tznu is a person who's a listener, he'll get wisdom. Because the guy, the talker, he's busy talking, he's never learning anything, he's busy talking too much. So call the Baruch Shalom, whenever you're speaking low with an aleph, low with a vav. It's not for you. All speech is not for yourself. It's to publicize what you have already and giving it out to somebody else. Right? So that's what the Gaon touches the pshat on the pasuk in Mishlei. But the concept of tznuim chachma is... Right? But what's fascinating is that the Alter Reb Kelem takes that and he takes it a step further. It's more than that. As long as something which you have... and it's your thoughts, it develops with you, it grows with you. The moment you give it to somebody else, it stops growing with you. So he writes in one place, he writes to one of his talmidim that he had a thought, and he's sharing it with his talmidim now. He's had this thought for 22 years. He never shared it before. He says he's only ready to share it now because he feels he's sucked out of it all there is to learn from that thought. And now he can pass on to somebody else. So he held on to that idea for 22 years. He held on to it. Didn't say a word to anybody about it. Because, and I'll give you a very, very crude example of this. A person learning something, you know, and they understand something. So what's our first thought? Let's share it with somebody. Right? And that's a healthy thing, you know. I'll tell you a story about that in a second, right? But as soon as I'm doing that, my focus is the outward focus, how to share it, as opposed to like, okay, what's the lesson? What is it saying? What does it mean to me? How can I absorb it? I'm focusing outwards already. And another example of it is I find like, you know, when somebody, let's say, shares with you a vort, or shares with you a story, so the natural instinct what to do is share a word back, right, or a story back. That's not the right thing to do. The right thing is to stop to say thank you for the story and think about it. Right. And absorb it and take the lesson out of it and think about it. But as soon as you're in the mode of giving something back, you're in the mode of not absorbing anymore. Yeah. Right? So you're not absorbing anymore because you're busy being polite. You're busy putting out. It's a problem. Now there is a mile of the day of sharing. There is a fascinating the Trumas Hakri, the Ksois's family, his beautiful family. It was three brothers. One brother wrote something called Kuntzes Hasveikus. One wrote the Ksois, and one wrote the Trumas Hakri. All three tremendous Minhag HaChamim. So the Trumas Hakri in his introduction, either or Kuntzes Hasveikus, one of the two, in the introduction to the Sefer, they asked, like, why am I publicizing what I wrote? So, you know, well, am I worthy of publicizing it? He said that the Rosh Hashanah made a nature in human being that even if I would be able to go up to Shemayim and see Maris Elohim, and Mamash be able to see all of the celestial beings, I wouldn't be totally happy if I can't share with somebody else. Why the Rosh Hashanah make that? He says, because this way it guarantees that the Divrei Torah will be shared. As opposed to just keeping it all for myself, I'll share it with others. Because otherwise, you know, and Aaron Cutler actually writes in a letter to somebody, in a mimer, that a person is mechadish something and he has a chiyuv to share it. It's otherwise, it's, you know, it's, you're being a tzarayan, you're being a cheapskate. You have a chiyuv to share the words of Torah to other people. So obviously there's a balance, but they have to be aware that, you know, when you're doing that, there's a sacrifice which is taking place. You're not totally absorbing it yourself. It reminds me of just I once heard this from a chaplain, a good friend of mine, chaplain. Like, he says, I'm going to tell you a joke. He says, at some point in your life, you're going to use this joke. Okay?
Here we go.
Okay. So here's a joke. Right? So there's this reform rabbi who didn't believe in too much of anything. You know? And, you know, it was when you're Kippur, he was extremely bored. And like, you know, the whole thing doesn't mean anything to him. And, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, just like the whole, you know, business is business. He makes a pronounce out of it, you know. But he says, you know what? He's out of here. He leaves the shul and drives to the golf course. Right? And the Shemayim, the Malachim, are tumbling. This is a rabbi on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, driving, lightning bolt, strike him down. You know, Kodesh Baruch Hu, kill him on the spot. The person says, wait. Good, the guy tees up. You know, there's nobody there. You know, it's Yom Kippur. Guy tees up and he hits the ball. And, you know, and Shemayim, the Malachim, is like, do something. Merchant says, wait. And he hits the ball and it's flying and it's flying and it's flying and it's going. And the first time in his life, it hits the green and it rolls into the cup.
Hole in one.
He has a hole in one. And the Merchant says, you gave him a hole in one on Yom Kippur? Merchant says, who's he going to tell it to? Okay, the hango is to tell somebody, right? That's the whole hango. So we have that tikkuna, but the world that sees is develop a world which that the total world inside of me, like, you know, that I live with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the reality. That's the reality, and I'm aware of that. That I live with that to such a level that it's not significant to me. What the thought process of the people, you know, of those people think about me. That's just like, why is it significant? And I don't have, and I realize the more I focus on that, the more it's just going to detract from the reality inside of myself. So Esnuim Chachma, the person of Esnua, he'll gather the wisdom because he's not focusing outwards, he's focusing inwards. So this is a piece, you know. And he says, so that's really that's your final goal of all of your avodah, is to get to that level where you have that clarity. And then you're truly opening up because Baruch Lishma. That's true Lishma. It's totally awareness of the service of Kodesh Baruch Hu, not because of any other reason. I just say one thought on it. The Mishnah says, Akina Bataiba Vakabad Masina Salim in Oilam. That, he doesn't quote it over here. I think he might connect it somewhere else. So the kina type of cover to take a person out of the world. Which world? Which world they're taking him out of? Right? So think about those three things. Kina is I'm focusing at somebody else. Taina is I'm focusing on the world and desiring something. And cover is I want people to notice me and give me recognition. They're all outward focused items. Mm-hmm. The world that it's taking you out of is the world inside of you. Mm-hmm. The world of living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a reality. That's the rule that takes you out of. Because every time you're looking at somebody else and you're jealous, what you're really saying is you're not focusing on. I'm living. If a person would feel the moment he's living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no room for jealous of what? Like, I live in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have the greatest thing there ever could be.
Right.
Nothing to be jealous of. You know, cause it feels like you'll know what's good for you, and you know that's like that's cheshbarnus. I don't need cheshbarnus. When I'm sitting in the palace of the king, and he's smiling at me, and we're having this beautiful relationship together,
that's it.
I don't need my cheshbarnus. Mela, therefore, I'm not jealous because I have good enough, and I don't need any of those cheshbarnus. I'm there already. The child sitting in his mother's lap is not jealous. Because it's living in the most warmest, beautiful place that can exist. So there's no kina. You know, you should have everything I have, happiest, whatever you need, everything's wonderful. COVID, people, I want people to give me recognition, like, what I need it for? Like it doesn't play a role. So David Melech says that he compares his existence with the Kodesh Baruch Hu like a child who's in his mother's lap. Right. That's the lishma. That's the goal. That's the goal of Boyd is to get us to the point where we have that clarity, and everything else, which along the way, which they're totally distractions. So like Yaakov says, lo mitis ro. Like, what do you need it for? Like, just like, you know, these things will be a total function of this. They're all functions of being distracted from the reality of the world. Maybe I'll tell you one more vort and then we'll stop. There's Rechaim Shlomo says of pshat. Which I can't tell. What I can tell you, it is so gorgeous. He said like this: the Gemara says Rabbi Yossi Shita is that the malacha of soyser, which is one of the malachas on Shabbos, batsim is an destructive malacha. So destructive malachas can't be.
What is
soyser to demolish? It's a destructive malacha. We know that any malacha which is destructive is not chayiv. So Morris says you're only chayiv if you're someone not sleepless. If you destroy with intent of rebuilding, fine. Comes to Bursi, he says, I'm going to add a layer. It's enough of you. Let's say I take apart this building or this item, take it apart to use that to rebuild it somewhere else. According to the Chachamim, that's enough. Bursi says, no, it has to be someone not sleepless bim kamei.
Yeah.
It has to be you're planning to rebuild in the same spot. If I take apart this building to use all the items to rebuild a new building somewhere else, that's not chayiv. Because if it's to be where you are, this is destructive. So Morris says, 1 second. Where do you learn all the Lama Tess Malachas from? You learn it from the Mishkan. Where was the demolishing of the Mishkan? They took the Mishkan apart. To what purpose? To move somewhere else. To go somewhere else. So the whole source tells you that it was not Bim Kaima. So the Mora answers, "Keep the Ksiva Al Pi Hashem Yisov, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Kamen Asilvus Mim Kamedami." It says that we travel the Al Pi Hashem, so it's the same place. Ad Kamen Lashon Gemara. So comes from Chaim Shalom, from Chaim Shalom, says like this. What does that mean? You know, it's a nice Musar Shmuz, but he told me halachic reality. He says, I imagine the following story: a woman gets on the bus, the Tel Aviv Yerushalayim bus, with her baby. She gets on the bus and she puts her baby on her lap. She's in Tel Aviv, she gets on the bus, baby on her lap, and she travels to Yerushalayim. So when I asked you, when she had the bus in Tel Aviv, I said, so where is the baby? The answer is the baby's in his mother's lap. She travels to Yerushalayim, I asked you, where's the baby? And it's mother's lap. So no, it's not. It went from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. We all understand that's not where you find where a baby is. A baby is in its mother's lap. Klai saw the midbar, we're in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. You're in good hands with all state, right? the physical place played zero role in the reality. And that's what the Mora is saying. Klai Yisrael is like a baby in his mother's lap. That's what it means, the reality of Klai Yisrael in the middle. That's what Revolver defines as sneeze. That's what, so, which is like way, 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 way beyond the woman's clothing. You know?
Wow.
Okay.